Chaka Khan. Hey, I'm Every Woman, and this is Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network, and the Soul Savage Show, coming to you every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 o'clock on the East, and Central Standard Time, in the Midwest. Hey, Q-Lynn, Whitney.
Hey, what's going on? What's
man, everything's
I thought everything's I thought he was on the line. Is this EB on the line?
EB is on the line.
EB?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm back.
EB.
I can't see what's going on.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all these numbers on the line. I'm trying to get my eyes straight because I'm a 420 experience. Y'all didn't know all that. y'all need to know all that. But, yeah, welcome back to Soul Savage Radio. We're back. We have a special guest on. Out of EB. EB, you want to do the intro since you know this person personally? And she's been on the show before. We're just going to get right to it. Do you want to do the honors of doing it, or you want me to do it?
Yeah, I'll do it. She really ain't nobody, but this is...
Oh, man.
It is my little sister,
LaShawn
Dreer. She is content creator. She headlines Naturally LaShawn LLC and Black Women Hustle. So everybody give it up for my little sister.
Yes, all the claps. You deserve all those claps. You know, say her name. Like, she ain't just your little sister. She's doing, dope stuff.
You know, it's always so hard. No, it's so
hard.
Right. Just to make that separation sometimes. But, yeah, you know, LaShawn Dreer, everybody. LaShawn Dreer.
He's still thinking about y'all fighting and almost breaking your knee on the elliptical or something like that. So that's what he's thinking back to.
Yeah,
it's hard sometimes.
Right. All the time you wanted to beat him up in his Batman underwear when he was running around the house and all that stuff. So he still got some memories going on.
Now, you know good and damn well I wear no Batman underwear. I ain't never wore no drawers, and I ain't never going to start.
Oh, you're right. Those drawers weren't popping in the 70s. I forgot.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I forgot. It wasn't popping in the 70s.
Right.
Tidy whiteys.
EB goes.
I said Batman because I didn't want to say tidy whiteys. That's what I said.
EB goes commando.
Right.
We're going way off track. We're supposed to be about LaShawn. We're supposed to talk about, we're going way off track. Sorry, LaShawn. You know how we try to balance the heathenness is already starting from everybody, but we don't get I have a question. Listen, I love Black Women Hustle. The whole brand is like, I listen to the podcast, you're on the sixth episode, aren't you? Or the seventh episode?
Seventh episode came out yesterday.
Yeah. Right. I need to get on that. I've been traveling, so I usually listen to it on my commute to my gig. It's because it's pretty a lengthy ways from Phoenix or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, I love it. I want to know the process of starting that and how did that idea come to you, Black Women Hustle, to start that?
So Black Women Hustle came, it was a number of factors that contributed to me starting it. The main thing was actually asking friends about their experiences with starting their businesses and how difficult it was to find people to actually work with. And most of the people who replied were Black women, and they were saying how they had like all these horror stories about people taking their ideas and turning it into something that it's not, or just not following through on what they asked for when trying to get products and services. So I was just like, I feel like there are actually Black women out here who have reliable businesses. Like, we're actually business women. We're serious about our business. We know what we're doing. We're knowledgeable. We're innovative. So I wanted to create something that represents that. I really wanted to create something in general that defies all the stereotypes that Black women see, but also to celebrate Black women outside of waiting until they get to that celebrity status. Like, let's talk to these Black women and see what they're doing before the world celebrates them. Like, we can celebrate you now. We can buy your products now. We can uplift you now. So that's just the essence of Black Women Hustle and how it really came about, and really just, trying to provide more opportunities. I just tried to think of everything that I know we do, everything I know we need, and just put it together for all of us. And, you know, it's just becoming more of just like this hub where Black women unite and we do so much together. Like, you follow Q-Lin, so you see the collaborations posts, and like people get under there and just start making these connections and doing so much. So that was really just the, you know, how everything came about with Black Women Hustle.
Right. And I was going to ask pertaining to, because you got like with these things, you know, like you got to have like a team of people. How did you come about, I guess the ones that your staff for Black Women Hustle to do all of this, how did you organize that in terms of you, like, because essentially you're a boss, you know what I mean? And so how did you go about like organizing that in terms of like, I guess, not like, do you look at it from that angle of like you're a boss and that you employ this many people? Do you look at it from that angle, or is it just like a collaborative effort with just reaching out to other brands?
Yeah, for the most part, I see it as more of a collaborative effort. Even when I do things, I have my own ideas, and you know, I want to put them in the brand. I have people I consult with. And I'll ask them, you know, their opinion on it, because at the same time, I am a Black woman, but I know that we all have different perspectives and opinions on things. So, you know, I just present it to different people. I never like to see myself as like the boss of anything. Now, I am one of those people who, as my friend calls me, an event villa. So I get shit done and I like things to go a certain way. So in terms of that, people might see me as somewhat of a boss, but I'm just a person who just likes to get work done. Like, that's how I see it. I'll never really say, like, I'm the boss. Like, I don't ever want to feel like I'm superior over whoever I'm working with. Like, we're all working toward a common purpose, and we all have common missions and sentiments about what it is that we're doing. So, nah, I never want to look at myself as a boss.
And then I wanted to ask, I've only got, like, a couple more questions, but I wanted to ask, like, being with you creating this from scratch, it's like, you know, you get a lot of, I say it all the time. I've had like a few conversations. I feel like most jobs have the same, or career choices have the same commonalities. And what I realized about certain career paths is that you gotta, especially if it's like a entrepreneur direction, that you have to recognize if it's a opportunity or inconvenience. And so I wanted to know, like, have you experienced that of like trying to figure out if this is an inconvenience or opportunity in terms of the Black Women Hustle?
I've experienced, you know, both, of course, more opportunities than inconvenience. I think it only becomes an inconvenience when the person or people who are approaching Black Women Hustle just aren't genuine in their actions. But, you know, and I'm a person, like I said before, like I get shit done. So no matter who's work, like, coming my way or what's coming my way with Black Women Hustle, as I said before, like, I have a mission to accomplish. Like, I have things to do. So it's not really much that's going to inconvenience anything. Like, nothing's ever going to turn into an inconvenience because I'm not going to allow it.
And with the podcast, what made you want to, like, create a podcast for it? Was that just a natural progression of like where you saw it going, or what? How did that come about?
Somewhat. I've had people tell me personally they wanted me to start a podcast, and I went and started a podcast on something completely different from what everybody thought it would be. But it just kind of went with the flow of where we are with Black Women Hustle. But at the same time, I know that there are so many women connected, like well over 30,000 women. So it's just like we're offering things and everybody can't see that. Like, everybody's not on Instagram all the time. They're not going to be able to see it. But I know everyone uses streaming services. And to me, the easiest way to reach the masses at this point is broadcast journalism. So whether it be radio show, podcast, like however you want to do it, I felt like that would be the easier way to actually put women in front of everyone that's in Black Women Hustle, but also outside of it. Because you can come across this podcast. Like, if you search in podcasts and Black women and all that good stuff, you're going to come across it. So to me, the best idea was just to go ahead and start that. And I really wanted to showcase more Black women, of course, doing things in their communities or across the world, and also providing that information. Because the questions I ask are, you know, just to dig deep into how these women started, what influenced them, and the advice that they would have for the women coming after them. Because if you listen to the podcast, many of the women I've interviewed will tell people, you know, exactly what struggles they face, the do's and don'ts in their industries or in that path that you're taking. So, you know, just to give people that heads up, educate them, inspire them, and just keep giving solid information and not just some fluff, because I hate fluff. So, you know, that's just the big point of it all, like to actually provide information, but also uplift these women and put them in front of thousands of people, possibly millions of people, you know, who can take from this advice and actually help the women further their careers as well.
I've think I just caught up on episode 6, what was it, on Sunday, because I was on my way back to Dallas at the airport, and I had a layover for a while, and I was listening to it, and it was, I believe her name is Dr. Davis, y'all had on 6,
mm-hmm.
I think it was 6th episode.
Yeah,
and was talking about that, and it just like, podcasts like that, like, I like things that intrigue me that's not, like, necessarily, like, out there that I see a lot of, like, it's unique in what y'all talking about, and y'all talking about, she's talking about what she does in terms of providing scholarships, I think, to black youth at Penn College and all that, and I was just intrigued with the process of that. But yeah, I'm a fan. But yeah, that's all my questions. I ain't gonna take up the interview, like our engineer says. So, Whitney, you got any questions for LaShawn?
Yeah, I have a few. Did you face like any noticeable like challenges when you were trying to get Black Women Hustle started?
Ooh. Yeah, and I would say the biggest challenge I faced was finding a trustworthy team. My friends, my family, like everybody who knows me like that knows that it is very hard for me to trust people on the outside, but also because mm-hmm. so much came with Black Women Hustle so fast that a lot of people just see opportunity. They don't necessarily see the chance to provide opportunity, or they're not trying to see the chance to provide opportunity. So just finding trustworthy people to stay connected with me, knowing that they'll actually do, number one, the work, but be genuine in their actions, and they're not necessarily wanting anything in return. Like, what they do is enough for them. Like, providing that opportunity mm-hmm. for other Black women is enough for them. So the trustworthy team is definitely, like, the biggest challenge I would say faced. But that work-life balance is definitely number two. And, you know, I'm a mom. I homeschool my son. I have my Naturally LaShawn LLC business, and I also have Black Women Hustle. So trying to balance all of those, you know, at the same time is the biggest, like, I would say second biggest, but it's probably the biggest, definitely the biggest challenge of, you know, trying to operate Black Women Hustle, because there's so much that comes with it. You know, we have products, we have some services that people can take part in, you know, so it's just like, it's a lot to handle, especially being one person trying to stay, like, the mastermind behind it all and actually execute. And I'm big on execution, so when I can't, it's going to be a struggle for me, and I'm going to get irritated to the point where I'm just like, I don't want to do it, or I'm slacking off on it, and I never want to come across as I'm not giving my all in it. So, yeah, definitely face those challenges.
Right, right. And kind of a follow-up question to that, when you find yourself, like, in that situation, kind of like where you have a lot going on, a lot on you and things like that, is there anything in particular you do to help, like, pull yourself out of that, or, like, a certain mindset you kind of get into?
Sometimes that mindset can get depressing, but for the most part, I step back, and I don't mind putting something down. Like, no matter what I put out there, like, that's why I hate, like, coming soon, because it's like, if it's not actively planned, if it's not thorough, I don't want to put it out there at all, because if I get to the point where something's, like, frustrated me or it becomes too complicated, I'm not going to want to do it. So, like I said, like, I'll take a step back. Like, that's exactly what I do. I put something to the side. I get in contact with everybody I've probably reached out to about that particular project and tell them it's either delayed or it's not happening at all, or we might pick back up with it later and see where it goes. But for me, stepping away from anything that I feel is becoming too overwhelming, like, even if it's for a couple of days or, like, a week or so. Like, it just happened. Mercury's in retrograde, and it's been kicking my ass for the past 2 weeks. But, you know, I push things back. Like, I just set it on the back burner for a little bit, and I'm just like, okay, make sure you get your mind right. You know, have a little more me time, like that whole meditation and just more prayer and more focus in actually realizing exactly what I need to do and not being all over the place with it. Like, I actually start developing more mental plans. Like, I know people love to have, like, the whole strategic plan, but I'm more of a mental planner. It's just, like, I have to know in my mind that what I'm doing is going to be progressive and that it's going to work. So that time away from that project is more time for me to just get my mind together, but also time for me to get more innovative with what it is I'm working on.
Nice. Makes sense. And then also you had mentioned earlier that you saw a need for Black Women Hustle, like, to have that place where people could come, find information that they need, actual resources, without all the fluff and everything like that. Do you have any suggestions for other women who may be in a similar position, who are just kind of getting started, like, who may see, like, a need in their community, but just they're not really sure how to actually get started? Anything that you could share to maybe help some of those people out?
The first thing I always say, because people ask that question and individuals ask that question because they're like, hey, I'm doing something similar. I just don't know where to start. And my first question to them is, have you researched? Because a lot of people will come to you with questions, but they haven't even, you have a phone in your hand, all day access to endless information. And people will ask you a question before they even lift a finger to hit Google. So I tell people to research before you come to anybody asking questions about how to start anything. And that's not in a rude way. It's in a, I'm not going to help you unless I know you're helping yourself. So, you know, I tell people actually go out and start looking up what it is, like, know exactly what you want to do. Because some people are like, oh, I want to do, like, women's empowerment. Okay, what about it? Like, what are you trying to do?
Right.
You can't see people fluff all day because, like, people are paying tickets to these events and whatnot, and it's, you get nothing from it. Like, you go, we eat, and it's like, all right, sis, like, see you later. So I try to tell people, like, actually do your research, know your mission, know what it is you want to deliver. Like, think far in advance. And some people try to think small, and I'm just like, you have to think about everything that you could possibly want out of this, and that's the way you need to be working. Like, that's what you need to be working for. And actually start reaching out to people for collaborations or, like, you can reach out for that insight, but I feel like searching yourself is better. But collabing is definitely another thing, like reaching out to people. But like I said, you have to look like you're putting in the work, because if I see somebody who might have like 200 followers and they're reaching out to me, I'm like, are you actually like doing any work? Like, if I go to your website, will I see anything? Like, I need to see that somebody's actually doing the work before I actually reach out to, like, and be willing to help them. But, like, no matter what their audience size is, but outside of researching, collabing, for a fact, you know, it can build tremendous relationships. It can build those relationships that you're going to need in the future, whether or not you need them right now, whether or not you can afford them right now. And on top of that, budgeting, because a lot of people will jump into these things and be like, okay, well, I don't have any money. But like, you have to be strategic about it. You have to definitely plan ahead and know what you can and can't afford and then make do with that. But you can, I built Black Woman Hustle on nothing. Like, I had just bounced back from absolutely nothing, no money in the bank. And it's like, now we're building, you know, it's monetizing. And I just feel like a lot of people, they don't efficiently plan for anything. And I didn't, but at the same time, I'm like, I learned from my lessons and I want to teach everybody to go about it in the ways that works for them instead of struggling through whatever it is that they're trying to build. But yeah, for the most part, researching, collab, don't be afraid to reach out to people. Slide in DMs if you need to. Send emails. Get that professional etiquette down, because I'm a stickler about professional etiquette. I can't stand to get an email without a greeting, especially an initial email. Just, you know, properly budgeting and planning, like planning ahead, because all of those are essential pieces in how you're going to build. Like, you can't build something on a raggedy or a half-assed foundation. It needs to be solid. So,
right. Last one, and I kind of laugh because you remind me so much of my sister. Like, it's almost like I'm talking to her, like, almost word for word with
that.
Some of this stuff.
I told her that.
It's crazy. Like, Diddy, oh my God. It's really weird.
Like, come on along too. So, yeah, she's just going to join in a minute, so she might have some questions for you.
we were.
I can't picture them talking to each other. Though. They sound too much alike.
I was interviewing her, but I was telling her that I was telling her about everything that Haley is doing, and I was telling her that she should connect with Haley, and I was like, you two are so much alike, like everything, and that's who when I first met you and Haley, that's who like I was like, oh, this was like my sister.
Yeah, he just mentioned her a few weeks ago. Like, he just mentioned her a few weeks ago.
And she just mentioned him 2 weeks ago, so they in the same thought process.
See?
Yeah.
Interesting. Welcome to the fam, because I can't consider you nothing but a sister right now. the last question I had, just are there any, like, new projects that you have underway that you could talk about or anything that you're excited about that's that you're getting ready to do?
See, I love the fact that you said that I can talk about. Most people just want to know. They don't care about your boundaries.
I get it.
No, I'm messing. But no, so right now we have a subscription box. The first box goes out next week, and next week the April box, or those who want to sign up for the May box can start signing up. And the Black Woman Hustle box is basically the new subscription service that provides 4 to 6 products from Black women-owned entrepreneurs that are connected with Black Women Hustle. And we have, it's a balance of self-care, but also professionalism. So women will get, like, these soaps, oils, body butters, and then on the other hand, they'll have travel deals, planners, guides, and just a bunch of informative details. And it's just a box filled with all these things from Black women. And I feel like if people could just see what I see, and all of the things that people have submitted just to be included in this box. It's a dope thing. And if anybody wants to sign up for that box, you can at blackwomanhustle.createjoy.com. We also have a podcast, as you all mentioned. An episode drops every Wednesday. We didn't do one last Wednesday, but, you know, we came back this week. And each Wednesday we interview Black women from across the world, those who are influential but also informative. I'm big on information and research, clearly. But we have that, and it's on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, on, I think, over 10 of, like, your biggest streaming platforms as well. We have some online courses and membership information that is coming up. I don't mind sharing that, because if you go to the website, you can see the online courses piece there. And that's going to be a major part of how more women connect with Black Women Hustle and actually how they start learning. Like, people ask for that advice, and I feel like if I have it, I'm not going to sit on it. Like, I'd rather give it to people so we can actually use it to build together, because we can all win at the same time. I think that's it. And, of course, we're still planning our events. We just did the Network After Work in D.C., which was successful. So thank you to the ladies who came out to that. And we're also going to continue the Networking Brunch and Mixer tour that I definitely cannot wait for. So, I think that's about it from Black Woman Hustle. It's a lot. You know, if anybody wants to connect with us, and we also have the business directory. That's, like, one of the biggest things. We promote Black women businesses through our directory. Women use it to find anything, any types of businesses. We don't discriminate Black women. So whatever you have, you want to join, you can do that as well on our website. But that's about it. It's a lot, so it's loaded. So blackwomanhustle.com. Oh, lastly, we do have the planner. April is around the corner. We have a Q2 productivity planner. It's for the second quarter, and we have everything in that bad boy. You have plenty of space to write, travel, budgeting, meal prep, courses to take, research to do, books to read, affirmations, goals, content calendar, all of that. Loaded calendar, loaded planner, Q2 productivity planner, available on blackwomanhustle.com. But I think that's it, y'all. I keep running out. But it's so much involved with Black Woman Hustle. But that's it.
Wow. Like, even this planner, because, yeah, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this looks like something Haley had picked out for me. This is crazy. This is dope. I I'm going to have to get one. I already got a planner, but just to support, like, this is what's up. Like, claps over here for Black Women Hustle. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, she is a definite stickler for etiquette. She got on me a couple times about my email signature that she hates. Ooh. And I don't know why,
Look here.
Always said something about it. I'm always like, what do you mean? It's very straightforward.
No, I will text him with rolling eyes every time I get an email from him because it ends in this. And I'm just like, that best is so damn short. If you don't change that to thank you or respect you, it's
hilarious. I don't respect everybody.
It's so funny.
Live your best life. What you gotta do? Best over there.
Hysterical.
No, so Black Women Hustle Instagram now has over 32,000 followers. Was there a certain strategy you used, or was the need for a platform like yours, because the idea is so unique, was the need so dire that people just flocked to it naturally?
The need for Black Women Hustle?
Yeah.
I'll say the need for Black Women Hustle, kind of. But the need for what women want, absolutely. And what people, the real force behind Black Women Hustle is opportunity. And if you go to my page, like I tell people all the time, if I go to my page, like when I look at it every day, it's just like I can't help but just be proud of what I see. Because there's nothing but Black women offering opportunities, advice, events, and majority of it is free. Majority of what I'm putting on there, it's just what people want, or it's a paying opportunity. So I think that's the real need. Black women have opportunities that they're trying to provide, but that they also need. And to me, that was the driving force behind it. And when I looked at all these other women's platforms, I love them, I admire them, and I'm just like, but it's not what we need. People offer products, we offer products. It's fine. Anybody can turn their business into e-commerce, but how many people are out here actually telling Black women, give me what it is that you're offering so I can showcase it to everybody else? Let's build each other up and not just talk about it. Let's actually do it. So to me, that's the driving force behind that growth and what draws people to Black Women Hustle, because when they see it, even when I make the collaboration post, they're like, oh my God, I love when you do this post. Since I love it too, because I get to sit and see what's in those minds out there. And it's I told someone on the panel I did in Atlanta last week, I was just like, Black women, we are hella innovative. And when I look at what you're trying to do, I try to tell people, don't put all your stuff out there, but they'll do it anyway. And I'm just I think it's dope. I admire everything that we're doing, but the growth to me really came with women realizing that I can find opportunities on here. I can send my friends anything that I think they're qualified for, but it's all pushed by Black women. And to me, that I think that's the driving force behind it, pure opportunity.
When you, even you speaking about it, it's always, and I'm sharing this, as family, but it's always so passionate, when you speak about anything that you're doing, and you and I talk very often, and anytime you start speaking about Black Women Hustle or Naturally LaShawn LLC, you light up. And I don't know if you realize it, but you do. There's such passion every time that it's mentioned or every time that you have to explain anything, and your recognition for the need for this type of platform. So this is what you do. You are an entrepreneur. This is full time for you. You were in corporate accounting and you left, and this is what you're doing now on top of homeschooling my nephew. When was that moment that you knew that this is the step you had to take? This is the path that you were meant to be on.
So I lost my job. Let me correct myself. I walked out of my job in 2017. March.
She literally walked out of her. She literally walked out.
I don't
and
think
called me when
it.
She did.
I know that feeling.
No,
she literally walked out and called me when she did. I was like, oh.
Isn't that the most liberating feeling in the world when you just walk out of a job? You know what? Fuck this job. Okay.
It was liberating.
That's how I get.
It was liberating until I cried. until I broke down crying afterwards. But it was liberating. I left that job and I was in this depressive state, and I worked maybe seven months of that year or whatnot. But when I got back, on my feet. You know, I prayed. I was down. I literally had nothing left. Like I said, no money, no nothing. I spent my last dime and got a job like that next day. And I was just like, ooh, like look at that. Okay, cool. Like that. So that was my, you know, I got a temporary job that I had already worked at, you know, temporarily earlier that year for like a month. And then came this permanent opportunity. And I was like, you'll be a damn fool if you don't take this opportunity knowing the situation that you just came out of. So I took that job. Being there, I was like, okay, first of all, I already hate accounting. I changed my major in college only to graduate and do accounting for like 6 years. What a fool. So, and after I got that desk job back, you know, I got my permanent job back and I was just like, I don't want to do this shit no more. And I told my friends, I was just like, you know, mentally, honest to God, I think I'm checked out on working for people. Like, I think I'm good on this. And I was in a job that was very, very beneficial. It's like, you know, you question things like, why this job, why this place, why this time, and why now? And while I was there, I realized how much I was learning because it was a small office, only four of us. I was the accounting and office, accounting analyst and office manager. I had a controller over me. I had a girl in marketing and then our CEO. And it was just us in their office. So here you have like four of the strongest points in any business. And you have direct access to them, and you work directly with each of these people. So I'm like, this is an opportunity to learn. So I took that, literally taking in everything I know about building franchises, starting marketing campaigns, social media campaigns, like taking all of that in. But I was just like, I'm not supposed to be here. I can't be here. Like there, I can't put all of my creativity and express myself in the way I want to. Like I can't just, I felt suffocated. And I told my friend that I felt hella suffocated working for someone because when you come to work, especially, I don't know, black men, I mean, y'all might feel that the same way too, but I'm like, as a black woman, I feel like I can't relate to anybody. Only black girls, only four of us in the office, and I'm the only black girl. And everybody's always talking about some bullshit bar down the street and some other shit. And I'm just like, I don't care about none of that. Like, I care about my people, and I care about uplifting us, and I care about actually building for myself. And that, like, I don't even think I was a couple of months in at that job. And I was like, I don't want to seem ungrateful, Lord, but it's not what I want. You know, like, it's not what I want. I'm not happy here. And I got to make a move. And I picked Black Woman Hustle back up at the, like, I started it earlier in 2018. Let it go because I was planning an expo and all kinds of other stuff. I was still blogging. And then I came back to it at the end of July. And since then, I had told myself, I was like, all right, in December, I got to make some moves, and we just want to see where it goes from there. And so far, everything has worked according to plan, and I can't complain. But, yeah, getting that corporate job again was what really made me realize this ain't it.
You are, oh, I hate being nice to you sometimes. You're like the real. it's so hard sometimes. You are because it's the compliment part. Like I don't know. I'm the one that's supposed to be complimented. You are yeah, like you really.
That wasn't ego driven at all. That statement.
No. This has just always been me. Like I'm. You know. I'm
right. Yes. Yeah, always about you. Right. You got it.
No, but. You are like, you're the real life, to me, superwoman. And I think we have another sister, and I think both of you are superwomen, and with everything that you do. And this is my last question. I mean, you went to school, and you had my nephew, who I had the pleasure of naming, and you finished your bachelor's on time. Then you went back and got the master's. You plan black business expos and voter registration drives in our hometown. I know how you find the time because I talk to you, but what do you do to unwind? Like, what makes LaShawn happy?
Catching a flight. Going somewhere.
Hello, somebody. Okay. Right. On time. Ain't got to work. Got my carry on bag. Don't have to break my ankle going to. Hey, you just lit something. That just happened to me. So I got excited about it. Go ahead. My bad. Sorry. I didn't want to
interrupt. No. That's real talk. Like,
real life.
If I'm home, I'm going to work. Like, as long as I'm in a setting where my laptop is near and my phone is in my hand, I'm going to work. I'm not going.
Child, why are you describing my life? I feel like you just did an autobiography of my life. Just that quick 30 seconds right there. That's my life.
Yeah, no, that's it. Like, as long as there's something within my reach that's going to keep me productive, I'm going to work. Like, it's just how I function is because what I do, I love what I do. And, you know, like, I wouldn't keep doing it if it didn't make me happy or if I didn't get some type of satisfaction from it. So to get away from it, the only thing I can do is actually travel and leave all that stuff behind. I know it'll be a little more difficult now because with Black on the Hustle, it's a, you know, I have to keep my consistency and not break it because, you know, once you let it go, like, it can go left to right. It's like a 50-50 chance that you're going to stay on top of it. So, but at the same time, like, just being able to just get away, like, travel or go to, like, a road trip or, you know, like, send me to Vegas and I'm good. Like, Vegas is like a second home at this point. I don't even go for the parties and none of that stuff. I just go to get pampered and bring my ass home, honestly. Like, I just need a flight. That's it. That's how I unwind. Travel.
We have a special, a friend of the show that comes on periodically throughout the year. She's been on multiple times this year. She's on the line now, finally. Founder of Ask Toe by Her, Haley. I was asking if she had some questions. You got any questions for Tardy Lady? You got any questions for Miss LaShawn?
Don't do me like that. But when I get
okay,
off
I'll
work,
be quiet. I'm gonna go to the corner.
So traffic is crazy, and so it took me a while to get here. But no, I do not have any additional questions because I don't know what y'all talked about already, and so I don't want to be repetitive. But I've loved listening in for the like 10 minutes I've been here. So again, it is nice to meet you and to hear your story.
You ain't been on that long.
Did you?
Haley, 10 minutes.
Exaggeration.
Did you not come for me?
Haley,
did you
hear the comparisons that we were making?
No, she. I don't think she did.
She couldn't have. She couldn't have. She would have said something.
I didn't hear on the line. No, I didn't hear. No.
Okay, no.
She
literally
just came on 5 minutes ago.
Whitney brought up to LaShawn that it was like talking to you, and you know, she reminds her of you. And I was saying that I just told her 2 weeks ago, not even 2 weeks ago, actually, that you and Haley should connect. Like, there's this weird similarity of get shit doneness. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
Get shit doneness.
Okay. That's the word right there.
Like right now,
no,
research,
right now,
all of that.
Is,
like,
no,
it's
exactly.
You.
It is you. It is you. And I was telling
Maybe
her.
Maybe on a T-shirt.
That you too, yeah, get shit done. This don't nobody steal that. Nikki Glam 1982. I'm talking about. You know, you're a thief. Do not steal that. It's this. There's like this. I call it this aura of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna tell you the people. It's people like Diane Carroll and Lynn Whitfield and Michelle Obama. Y'all have this. I don't know what it's called. This black woman. You know,
black woman.
Regalness. this black woman regalness. And, Whitney brought it up, and it was so funny because I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't know you were going to be here. But you two are so similar in every, like, just the way your minds work, I think. And I don't know you. I mean, I grew up with her, literally. But I don't know you, like, as well as I know her. But the first time I met you, I was like, this is who you remind me of. And I do that with everybody. Like, when I met Whitney, I know somebody that Whitney reminds me of. I know somebody that Q Lynn reminds me of. It's just, like, in my head. I know somebody that Will reminds me of. It's in my head. Mm-hmm. And I made that immediate connection when I met you. I was like, oh, this is, I'm talking to my sister. Literally.
Oh, wow.
No, Haley, here. No, let me put it to you like it's just me and you on the phone. Y'all are like the same person. You know how like you like research. You got all these ideas. You got all this stuff you want to do. You got all of it listed out. You got your task. You're organized. When you get ready to do it, you do it. You about to go somewhere, you book it. You got the facts. All of that, that's who is on this phone. When I was talking to her, I was like, get out of here. Like, I told her that she our sister, straight up. And you know that ain't, you know that's not me, because I don't like everybody, and you know that. Right. But no, this is like,
no, but real,
yeah,
right? Real talk.
No, Whitney literally doesn't like anybody. Just
for real, I don't like a lot of people, not all of them. I'm respectful, but I, you know, you don't vibe with everybody.
What I'm saying is, this may be why Whitney and I have our little thing going on, because Whitney, me and you are alone. I don't like people. Like, LaShawn is...
That's true.
LaShawn is the... All right. LaShawn is... Well, she might be older. Who knows? But looks older.
He just tried your age and everything.
It's this. Oh, don't tell nobody your age, because they don't know my age. So if you tell your age, then they're gonna do the math. So don't say nothing. but no, it's something great that both you guys have, where you are like natural born go-getters. I'll say part of it is, so our mother, part of it is that it's that I'm going to make this happen. I saw it. It's going to happen. I don't care what is going to happen.
Damn thing stand in my way.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's part of it is that, but part of it is also like our grandfather is very, nope. So this is planned this way. This is planned this way. This is planned this way. And this is what we're going to do. And she and I were raised by our grandparents. So she took a lot of that, but she has a lot of our mother. I do, but in different ways. Like she said, when she's home, and if she's home close to a laptop and close to her phone, she's working, I'm turning my phone off because I don't want to talk to nobody, because I don't like people. And
yes,
I'm probably going to turn on Netflix and watch something, because I'm tired. Like, I feel like I've been working and I'm just tired. I don't want to work no more. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. But y'all, Haley and LaShawn, y'all, like, oh, I got to do this. Oh, no, I wrote this down. Yeah. Oh, 2:15, I got to go through my Kegel exercises. 3:15, I got to go milk the cow.
That's what you call.
How do you keep going? Like, it is hard for me as, like, it's just hard.
I feel you,
Edie. I'm not stopping it until I'm satisfied. Like, that's
basically. Right. Listen, I need to give you a digital high five. If you were in the room with me right now, I would give you a high five for that. That's how I am. Like, I can't settle. I can't sleep. I can't do anything until I get this task done. That's how I am. It's like, I don't care if it's 2 or 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, if I need to get it done, if it's an email, if it's this, if it's that, I got to get it done. But go ahead. But yeah. I want to talk about email etiquette. You talked about that, and I feel like I finally have somebody that I relate to, because that's like the task of my day is writing emails. Like, majority of my day is writing emails, and most of the time it's like for entertainment, business stuff, and so I got contact managers and stuff like that. And when I tell you, I can't stand it when they send emails through their phone and there's so many grammatical errors. So do you have any pet peeves like with email etiquette? I want to get to the bottom of this, because I just need somebody to mutually understand the frustration. I feel like you get it.
Bet. Okay, so look, whenever people send an email, because I always ask for emails, like with my business and Black Woman Hustle, like I always ask, like, you know, send an email. Some people are just sending info and that's it. Okay, first of all, hello. How are you? What is your name?
Right.
Give me something. Like, introduce yourself and then let me know what it is that you're doing or why you're reaching out. And after we break the ice, I don't care. You don't have to respond to me with a formal greeting. I don't care, because we already in conversation. I've already read. Second pet peeve is people who don't read. Whenever you reply to me, if I've given you thorough paragraphs and you respond and ask me a question to something I just answered, I don't want to talk no more. Cause you
I think you, I forgot that you were a part, cause you're like such, like the Black Women Hustle is so big that I forgot it was you running it. And so I'm sending it like any other email. Like, I was like, cause I forgot, and then you were like, cause I thought you had like people handling it. So I'm like, oh, I gotta go through. I thought you had like two assistants or something like that, because that's what it seemed like.
No, I monitor my stuff. Right. No, I monitor every. Like when I tell people like 30-something thousand followers,
everything.
I bet you I've watched all 30-something
thousand. She knows
I just follow
everything.
Haley on Instagram. Like while we're on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know if you had an assistant or not. So I address everybody that way. So I was doing the same thing because I got like your Instagram and stuff like that. I remember one time I sent it. I was like, damn, I should have sent her an email instead of Instagram. But it was like, all right, I'm gonna do it like this. But yeah, it's like, what about people that you got to keep repeating stuff to? What's a phrase you use when you're trying to be a smartass, but you're doing it in a dignified way? Because I do it all the time.
My dignified.
Like my
funny.
She don't have a dignified way, honestly.
You don't?
I'm
not responding.
No.
Like, if I got to repeat myself, I say per my last email every time. Or if you would have read, or I say previously my last email or something like that, I'll try to say it to where, hey, you didn't read this. I mean, if you act like you got, you did reading comprehension in school and read the email, I try to do it in a way, because it's like, damn, because I can't write, because the way I talk, I'm like, damn, you so fucking stupid. I was like, I want to write that. I want to hit backspace so many times. I was like, damn, who am I talking to right now? But yeah, that's the thing, y'all, because I'm a heathen. But yeah, you just hit it straight, so you don't have like a go-to thing. You just, this is how it is, and you know, you get any questions, right?
It's hard for me to be fake. So if I'm about to respond, what I want to say is, did you read the email? Like, did you read the previous email? That's the only thing I want to write. I'm not necessarily into repeating myself, and especially if I'm responding by my phone. Who wants to type all of that again? Like, I
don't
like anything. But outside of that, I don't like repeating myself because like people don't read, and I feel like if you use social media or anything for business purposes, you'll realize people don't read. You can post an ad with all the details in it and post a full caption with an elaborate detail, and people will still not read and comment and ask, like, okay, so where do I send it? Okay, so you can send people like at all. All
right.
Like, no, I just don't respond because I feel like if you're serious about business, then you actually read emails. Like, you actually read through things. I don't care how big you are, who you work for. Like, I've had PR reps I've reached out to, and they'll respond and ask me a question, but I'm like, I answered it, and like, I sent you everything in the first email. So, like, what do you, I'm like, well, damn, like, you working for this person. Like, hell, I can apply for that job. Like, at this point, like, you barely read the emails, and you're missing important details.
Man, like, you tell my wife
oh
right
my
now.
Gosh, it's Haley. That is
that's
her.
That is me.
That is her right there. Yes.
You put your time in, and so you expect people to respect your time. And if your stuff is monetized, like, you making money, so time is money, essentially. Like, I understand that because somebody recently asked me to run their social media because they were looking at, like, mine and especially my YouTube. And so, okay, cool, let's talk about it. So I drafted this 2-3-page long synopsis about their social media, talking about looking at analytics and all of this stuff. And so I send it to her, and then she calls me, and she's like, okay, so what about all of this? Wait, let's back up, because I just sent you 3 pages. So one, I know you didn't reach that, and then two, like she just said, I already talked about all of that. So what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. You spend all your time to invest into something, and they can't respect that, but then they still want you to do for them. Like, it doesn't work like that.
I think social media contributes to people's laziness with emails, though, because we're still being thorough in emails and writing out explanations and breaking things down. When the easy thing to do at this point is just to get on the phone call, but at the same time, sometimes you need that written confirmation depending on what you're working on. But people on social media, it's like we have these limits with how much we can write. You know, Twitter, like, they increase the characters a little bit or whatnot. But on Instagram, everything is more so visual, so you're not necessarily worried about the captions. But I read captions. A lot of people don't, and that shows. But on Facebook, you know, some people just like to keep it short because if I got to read more, I ain't reading the whole thing. Like, that's how people see it. So it's just like when it comes to emails, people try to have that same interaction. And I'm like, it don't work like that.
Like, if we communicate, exactly. and let's communicate. Like, I'm heavy on communication. So it's like, if we're going to do exactly. it, we need to be as serious about it as I am. If not, we can end this right now with a smooth delete.
Exactly. Right. That's it. That's it. Because mom was a contract, and I'm like, no, ma'am. Like, I need you to sign it. Like, what are you doing? I need that back. You know? And so I understand
the hard way when they come across the wrong contract, but hey.
Right. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, I could have put anything in this, but because you didn't mm-hmm. read it, you don't know. So, like, let's try to be better with that.
Man, this is such a good time. I know you gotta leave in a few minutes, but before you go, I don't think you played this game we did last time. It's called What's Wrong With You. I don't remember if you played it. No, I don't think you played it. It's called, it's basically my judgmental game.
Yeah, it's rigged. The game is rigged.
Ignore everything the engineer just said, cause it's not rigged at all. It's, I make up the rules to where you can win.
That's what
it's
I just said.
A matter of you.
The game is rigged.
It's not rigged. Rigging means that you would lose. I'm making it.
No, I never thought about that. No. Is actually telling the truth. I never thought about it. But everybody wins no matter how wrong they are.
Right. Exactly.
That's rigging.
That's even worse.
I'm trying to see the worse.
That's rigging. No.
Throwing me off. We gotta get your sister together real quick. Hold on. Okay, it's just an either or game. You pick or choose. This art is not based on. I make up the rules as I go. And so, I got a couple bonuses to where I might switch that up. But this list at the moment is just either or. It's just pick an artist that you like listening to. Who do you have more of on your playlist? Like, who do you listen to more of? That's essentially the point. So the first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Marvin.
There you go. You're talking right. Next one is The Whispers or The OJs.
Oh, that ain't even right. I can't choose.
Listen, it's like little tricks and trades in there. So
that right there is unfair.
Right. Just pick one. Just who do you have more of on your playlist? Is it like an equal amount of their music on your playlist? Is that what it is?
I would say I probably have more of The Whispers.
Okay, you're talking right. That's a bonus as well. You could have went either way with that. Like I said, it's tricks in there, so I make it up.
Yep, it's real.
No, that's not. Listen, you finish.
But the next one is Rick James or Prince?
Prince.
What?
I have more Prince than Rick James. Like that's just honest truth. I do have more Prince than Rick.
Okay, that's fine. You know what? That's a bonus as well. You can go either way with that one. Like I said, it's like little tricks and trades in here. So we at the point of the game now to where I try to soften you up to think that this is the safe part of the game, but we at the middle part of the game now to where it intensifies and that you have to answer all these the way I want you to, or you get a what's wrong with you. And so,
see, I told you it's rigged.
I'm about to mute you in about 5 seconds. If you don't quit, okay, we just go bypass that. Okay, next one is this is Michael Jackson specific. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Off the Wall.
Yeah, you talking right. You didn't get what's wrong with you on that one. You answered that one perfectly. Okay, the next one is Patty or Aretha?
Aretha.
I know what she's going to say, Aretha, yeah.
Listen, I know you, EB sister. That's why I had it in my mind.
But wait,
that you brainwashed you.
That is her because, and I don't know if this is, but the sense that I've gotten from her entire life, she does not like Patti LaBelle. And I love
Patti
LaBelle.
Why?
It's not. Okay, no.
I love Patti.
I think Patti is a great actress. I think Patti is a great singer.
I need this to be gift wrapped a different way because the way you going right now, I was about to give you a negative 12 points, but where you going right now is about to make you what's wrong with you. So I'm going to let you finish, but go ahead. I interrupt you. Go ahead. So I can hear how this is going in.
No, I don't have anything against Patty. But in terms of, but that discography, I'm with Aretha all day. Like,
I mean, naturally, that's Aretha.
Okay, name me five songs in 15 seconds. I'm about to set the timer now. Name me five Aretha songs.
Ooh, right there, like 15 seconds. Until You Come Back to Me, Respect, Call Me, Natural Woman, Say a Little Prayer. That's five.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Thanks. You know what? You get a bonus for that because I was going to accept Till You Come Back to Me or Jump to It because those are the gems right there.
Oh, no,
we listened to a lot of Aretha growing up. Yeah. I
said the other week that Jump to It, I thought it was ironic, that song, because I was like, she must have been figuratively speaking because I was like, where's she jumping?
Because like, Aretha wasn't jumping nowhere. She wasn't jumping
nowhere. Right, that's what I was saying. I was like, she not jumping nowhere, but yeah.
No.
I was like,
EB loves Jump to It. Emma will sing that thing word for word. Until You Come Back to Me, I will
that's
sing
my
that
favorite
word for word. And Rock Steady, our fan will get off. Like, that's it.
Like, you were gonna get negative 12 points, but when you pick Until You Come Back to Me first, so you get a bonus one there. I give you we'll knock off. I give you 2.5 points for that. I guess that's a bonus. And so the next one is Brian McKnight or Babyface.
Babyface.
There you go. You're talking right. Okay, this is another bonus. Faith Evans or Mary J. Blige.
Nope, don't answer this one. She don't know. She never heard of
them. On this one, so
she never heard of
them. Mary J. Blige or Faith Evans.
I feel like that's like
think about your Thanksgiving dinner. Think about your Thanksgiving dinner.
Listen, you can Uber eat something or Postmates. You ain't gotta have like traditional Thanksgiving food. Forget what you're talking about. Faith Evans or Mary J. Blige, vocally.
Okay, so there's a difference. Are we talking vocally? Are we talking
album? Yeah, that's why I said I make up the rules.
No, we're not talking vocally.
Mary J. Blige's catalog is too long. In terms of the hits. So we can't, so of course, I got all the Mary box on my phone. Like, and Faith Evans too, but I'm just saying, like, vocal-wise, who you going with? Faith Evans or Mary J. Blige?
If we talking vocals, I gotta go with
Think
Faith.
About who gave your son.
There we go, you talking right, you talking right.
You know what?
And I am concluded.
Now, if we switch it to this guy.
No, you ain't gotta add no more to it, LaShawn. You won again. I have concluded that there is nothing wrong with Miss LaShawn. I tell you right now, ain't nothing wrong with it. You talking right. You won the game. You wonder what's wrong with your game. If you will send me your Cash App, you won the game, and so you get a prize of I put $2 on your 40-ounce, like if you want to go to the convenience store or something like that. I can Cash App you $2.75 that's a consolation prize when you win a game. You know, just a fancy, fancy drink. You know, you can put it in, a champagne flute or something like that, just to commemorate your win. But thank you so much for coming on and put up with mostly my foolishness, but your brother, he mentioned you on the show too when we talked about the best Instagram. We had a listener ask the question, like, what's his favorite Instagram page? And he said Black Women Hustle. He named that and then.
Don't tell her I did that, though. Don't tell her I did that.
That's not oversimplified because it's going to warm his cold heart if we get too sentimental. So I just go, just put exactly. It out there that he says good things when you're not around. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you dropped a lot of gems. I know a lot of creatives listening on the show that are doing multiple things in entrepreneurship. So thank you so much for dropping these huge gems. And where can they find you on social media?
So you can follow me personally on Facebook at LaShawn Dreher. On Instagram
spell
at
Dreher,
LaShawn
please.
Dreher.
Spell Dreher.
D as in dog, R, E, H as in horse, E, R.
Thank you.
And, of course, Black Woman Hustle is on Facebook and Instagram at Black Woman Hustle. I'm on Twitter as well. I don't use Twitter as much. I keep trying to do better, but shit, I can't. But Black Woman Hustle is on Twitter at Black Woman Hustle 1 and on Twitter at LaShawn Dreher.
It's too
and
much.
My business page is Naturally LaShawn LLC on Facebook and Instagram as well. That's it.
Oh, you took me out with that.
I'm just saying, like, no, because listen, because it took
even today, when I have to write Dreer or anything, I have to sound it out. I know that makes me sound remedial as what. I don't care. I always have
you're
to
not the only person.
I'll be like, okay, how do I spell it?
Yeah, you're not the only person, trust me.
Thank you so much for coming on this time and putting up with our foolishness. We love to have you back on the show. It's always a good time when you're on. And, yeah, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all. Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Y'all give it up for LaShawn. Everybody listening in on the airwaves. We just interviewed LaShawn. Yes, there we go. We need to get the Arsenio Hall sound bite so I can hear the whoop whoop. We need to get that. They had that show was big. I need to find that sound bite where they do the dog whooping. Evie know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. So, yeah. I watch this show.
Yeah,
we can get that. Bite.
They were live.
You need to send me more than $2.
Ooh, listen.
Mm-hmm.
You need to increase the budget, Q-Lan.
I need to send you a Pinot Grigio,
a case.
I need to look a store and get you some for like $12.
A case.
I'm gonna decorate it and everything and gift box it.
Yeah.
Put it something special. This $12 Pinot Grigio. I'm gonna go to the liquor store and have a girl outside. They only got two front teeth that asking me for change. I'm gonna go all the way to the hood just to get that piece.
Yeah, why don't you gift grab 10 grand, gift wrap 10 grand and then we're all right.
See, there you go. Listen, okay? You act like we in a 1% tax bracket here, okay? Listen, just cause I've been gone for a while don't mean you can't, and you over here collecting tabs and keeping quote of how many times I'm gone so you can ask me money cause you know I'm out getting money.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want some of it. Listen, we ain't got the 10K. I ain't got it for you.
I don't have sound.
Let's go to break real quick for Will to try to get in my before he had me cash out for him money. We'll go to break. We'll be back.
Be right back. It's so sad this show.
We'll be back, y'all. We'll be back.
I'm caught up in one night love affairs. It's been true.
And that's Inner Life, caught up in a one night love affair. And we're here on the Buzz Studio, W Buzz, your global radio network. And back to the Soul Savage Show with Q Lynn, Whitney, and EB.
Caught up in a one night love affair. We added a new segment, since EB's been gone. We added a new segment. It's called, SST. So, Savvy, song translation. And, this song, Inner Life, the song is called Inner Life, but it's called Caught Up in a One Night Love Affair. And basically, the lyrics is just to translate that, she's talking about, like, it's basically like that situation in Boomerang, where, like, you caught feelings, like, you wouldn't try to catch feelings, but then you caught feelings. And so she was wanting to, I call it SS Skeet and Skedaddle. That's how, one night stands are. That's my translation of that. It was supposed to be one night, but then she didn't fell in love. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Getting skedaddled.
Mm-hmm. You know a lot about that. I know you know a lot about that.
Wow. That's a bad situation. Listen, I ain't shameful or nothing. Okay. I was trying to cut a record myself while EB was going.
EB, nothing's changed.
You know, he had I go to church, but I smoke weed record. I was trying to create my record called. It was a record I was trying to put out on Spotify called Condoms and Gatorade. That's what I was trying to
do.
No.
I got a new single coming out. It's called Condoms and Gatorade.
And your other single. You got another single called I'm a Pimp and I Don't Care.
this is all past life.
No.
This is all past life.
Yeah, okay.
That was past eight.
I'm buying that one.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
But we are back. We'll get to Savvy updates, and the update is that EB is back.
Yay!
He is back. I don't know where he been.
Busy.
Yo, people who've been blowing me up asking me, one of them is on the show right now. A lot of people thought we fell out, and then, you know, you got fired. Somebody used to turn fired. I was like, I ain't fired nobody. Why you getting rid of EB? What is all this going on? And then Haley, she stopped, we was in 15-minute conversation, and she asked, like, where's EB at? Like, really, you guys, we've been talking for 20 minutes on this show. And then it's come out of nowhere. It's talking about, I just didn't hear him. Well, he ain't on the show, that's why you didn't hear him.
I missed you, EB.
We see each other at night, though. I'm not mad. I was denying it all this time.
Yeah.
Long ago
that something I wanted to do was start a podcast and get that going. But on top of that, I also DJ. So it's like finding the schedule to do all of that is hard on top of doing Soul Savviness. So actually, my sister LaShawn is the first guest on my premiere episode. I've recorded 3 episodes so far, but she's the first guest. And I haven't released any of them yet because I'm editing and trying to make sure they're perfect because I talk about her, but I'm like, in my head, everything's got to be perfect. So it took time. So I was like, I'm just not able to do it right now. Q and I never fell out. She didn't fire me. I mean, we've been cool. Like, no, like, yeah. but even Q-Lin hit me up and was like, hey, what's going, like, where you at? And I told her, I was able to tell her, like, hey, well, I'm doing this, but I'm also doing a couple DJ gigs because, you know, it's a little bit of money to finance this equipment I've had to buy. So it's like, all right, you know, doing that, I just wasn't able to do it, especially at the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year, I wanted to sit down in 2019 and do everything that I haven't done that I've been saying that I'm going to do, especially since my sister has started doing all of her stuff. It's like, no, she can't be the only one doing everything she wants to do. So she was actually very integral in inspiring me to, hey, do this now. Do this now. Like I said, she's the planner. I'm not. So she's like, do this now, do this now. So I just haven't had time, but I've listened twice. And that's big for me because I don't listen to, much. Like, I'll listen to Studio W sometimes, and I'll listen to, Soul Savinus sometimes. But if I'm on it, I don't like to listen because I don't want to hear myself. But I didn't think people thought we had any beef or any issues. Like, I'm still sleeping with Whitney, Q-Lin, and I. Like,
putting everything out there.
Oh. The show I did with Monty, I had Monty on again, and that day was
which
hectic.
I love.
Right, and I was talking about a docuseries, and people thought I was talking about you. They was relating the situation to you because I was like, I'm tired of people not texting me back, calling me back when they're supposed to be. I was trying not to be giving details of it, but I gave some of the Monty when I was talking about I was auditioning people and stuff, and it was just that I've been traveling. And I was making time on my schedule to do all that, and it's like people that keep recommending me people to audition aren't showing up to the auditions, or they're not doing the auditions. The auditions aren't turning out right when they do the auditions because they haven't studied the music. And it was just that frustrating process with trying to get new up-and-comers, you know, giving them a shot to tour and be on a gig and stuff like that. And it was just most of that, and so I wasn't being detailed in it. I was trying to be discreet with it, but
people
was like, oh, she's talking about
she's talking about
it
was,
no,
listen.
Jay, what's his name? Jalen Williams and Layla.
Yes, I know. I love that.
They're like, oh, you're firing me. I was like, what's going on? Like, why y'all sending these emails?
And But listen, I told Q-Lin at the end of the year last year, before we took the Christmas break, hey, I need to take a break. I got stuff going on. Like, she knew that, everybody, and she was cool with it. Now, what I didn't tell her was when I was going to get stuff started back up to come back, because I'm, like I said, I'm not the planner. Like,
yeah, she didn't tell me, so I was like, just in my head, I was like, oh, he's still probably doing his podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I didn't see that in his social media. I'm like, oh, he's probably, like,
and that's another thing. So anybody who follows me on any type of social media, you would have noticed that I quit social media like in January and February because I was like, I have to focus on what I'm doing. The only thing I did not quit was Facebook and on my professional page. Like I quit my personal page, but my professional page, I was like, I can't quit that because I need that right now. So that kept going, but Twitter and Instagram were, especially Twitter, if anybody knows me, y'all know I was very active on Twitter. I was just like, no, I can't right now. I have to focus on what I have to focus on. And I have to
Canceled his trip to that, when he told you about
weekend,
that was Black Ass Weekend, he canceled that one.
And I was wanting to go to that one too.
I was planning to go to that one too because I was like, yo, I'm healthy this year. I researched the medicinal places. It was like two of them in Maple Valley. I was like, oh shit, they can deliver for the crib. I was ready to go. I was like, oh shit, they can come and bring my shit to me.
It's so bad. Yeah, I canceled me going on something I started, this trip.
What y'all
that
say?
I can't
bypass that. What'd you say, Haley? I feel like it was Haley that says that. What'd you say? Talk about my 420 experience.
Nobody said anything.
I did not say nothing.
All in your head.
I didn't hear anything, but if you
No, I didn't hear anything either.
I was tripping. Uh-huh. Oh, whatever.
She's getting paranoid.
So that's your point. Listen, uh-huh. I'm not tripping. No, this ain't a 14 trip.
The point was just, Lord, like, it wasn't just soul savviness. Listen, I canceled everything. I have not seen I have not seen my mom, my dad, my grandparents.
He said,
my I'm going to
cuss them out if he don't keep up with them and stuff.
Real talk.
Mama be cussing
like,
them out.
Grandma
be cussing them out.
Like, my sister was on earlier in the show, but I haven't talked to my sister in a week. In a whole week, because I'm very much in my zone that I need. And another part of it is just, I'm a person who, when I'm working on stuff, I have to cut everything else off because I don't want to be influenced by anything else. And I don't want anyone to ever feel like I'm biting or taking from whatever they're doing. So I had to cut all like communication off. Like that's just my work process. Like I'm like a real, the only person I've been talking to really is Nikki Glam 1982 at yahoo.com. She is the only one.
She has not emailed me, but I
can't figure out why. I want her to, but
she blocked on all my stuff. I'm like, nah, you don't say stuff like that. Then you got to
What did
you
say? What happened?
We good.
She made some slurs.
She used a homophobic slur that, well, I
and
feel
I was
like
just so confused.
Slur, yeah.
I was just like, but why? Like, I can see if I attacked you or I said something about your mama or your daddy or your sister or your brother, but I didn't. Like, I don't even know why. Honestly, and I don't remember why. This is the funniest thing. I don't remember why she was upset or what the initial thing. Was it a Beyonce thing, QN, that she was upset about?
I know it's related to, I can't remember if it's to Mariah, if it was Mariah Carey.
Oh,
or
it was
AJ
Mariah.
Blige or,
it was
or Beyonce.
And Mary
I feel like it was Beyonce because she put, I remember her putting bees in the emoji. So I don't know if
it's maybe
that.
It was Beyonce. Listen.
I wasn't there. Listen. I think that was the show I wasn't there.
You were gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah,
like it was like she just was upset, you know, and right. I can see why. I get it because sometimes, like I said, I come off as like my sister said, I don't like people, so sometimes I'm very, you know, cutthroat and to the point to where it can seem rude or mean, but that's just me. Like that's just always been me. Like that's just it. And Nikki Glam 1982 at yahoo.com. She just took issue with that, and the emails were going to QLynn, and this is why I appreciate QLynn. She wasn't even going to address it at first because I felt like QLynn thought it might have hurt my feelings more than it did, and she was trying to like, no, this is not going to stand. I appreciate her for that, but at the same time, I was like, I just want to know what they got to say. If she got
it didn't have no, not with your feeling. I was offended. I was like, cause
oh, you
like,
are offended.
I can't stand like straight people that do that corny shit. It like bothers me. And
well,
it's like
yeah,
nobody ever
yeah.
calls them out for doing it. Like I don't feel like it's on like anybody of the LGBT community to like address people that are cisgender. Like you, it should be somebody else. Like of. Like, just call them out. Like, I just like, yo, you mad whack for that. Like, that's stupid.
But, and that's
like,
the
who
thing.
Does that?
With Nikki Glam,
it's like, that's so corny to be an insult. Like it's so
right.
many other things. It's not even, we're talking about music. What the hell does that have to do with music?
Right.
Nothing. So, it's just
that
like, whack. That's just stupid to me.
Like, if you felt I was wrong, if you felt I disrespected or I was wrong or anything, insult my musical knowledge. Insult, you know, the way I pronounce Mariah Carey's name or something, I don't know, or the way that I pronounce Beyonce or Houston or whatever y'all do. But, like, it was like, oh, you know, he's gay, so I'm going to use a slur. And it's like, well, no, because now you just look stupid and you prove my point in a way because you're wrong and I'm right. But I'm always right. Nikki Glam, call me girl, Nikki.
I'm sorry, weak.
But I'm back. So
you're back.
Studio W the
yeah.
Buzz.
Yeah.
EB is back. Yeah. Glad to have you back, EB.
No, I'm really glad. I'm glad to be back. Actually, you guys weren't on last week, but Whitney and Keelan will tell the viewers or the listeners that I text both of them because I was on the line last week ready. I was like, all right, we're ready to go. We're ready.
Why didn't you text me, EB? We could have carried the show on.
Wait, but I didn't know. I texted them first because I didn't hear
you anything. You should have saw the text, though. He wasn't being I was real nice.
I was ready. I was ready, EB. We could have carried the show.
Will, no, Will, we really should have because I was, what are y'all, what are, I was like, I ready. Came,
somebody had called me, so I finished half of what y'all talking about. What y'all talking about right now?
We talking about last week. I was telling them last week I was on the line, and I texted you and Whitney.
Yeah.
I texted Whitney first because I was like, Julian might not even be looking at her phone. Like she just said, she wasn't on the line. See, I was like, okay, Julian probably not paying attention, but Whitney, I know Whitney is right there by her phone. Like, I was like, hey, I'm on the line.
So
what's going on? I'm just saying, I was like, I'm on the line. What's going on? Because it's more people than me. I was like, okay, this is the night. I'm going to go back. I've done the majority of what I needed to do. I've recorded what I needed to record. Right now, the only thing I have to do is editing. So I signed on, and I was like, oh, I don't hear nothing, you know. It's 6:55 Eastern. Okay, everybody just late. It's 7. Okay, yeah, they late. It's 7:05. Okay, well, I was cussing Will out. Ooh, this is not bad for business. Like, it's 5 minutes after, and I don't hear nothing on this line. And I got the text messages back, and I was like, okay,
right.
They didn't do a show this week. But, Will, if I had known, I would have just did a show by myself.
We would have had a blast. We would have had a blast.
What happened was, you told me, from what I recollect, it was, as I asked you, because I knew we had a guest coming on the first week of March, and you told me the week after, you said, because you said March, I remember March 9th, you said you were doing your podcast, and so you said the week after that, and so you didn't come that week, so I was like, oh, I guess he's still doing his podcast, and so I didn't have anybody lined up. I mean, we had LaShawn was supposed to come last week, but she was in Atlanta, and so she rescheduled, and so...
So this is it.
I was like, and then I had a gig. Well, the thing was, my flight, I had to rebook my flight through another airline. And the only time they had for me to be there that day, because I had to be there at 10 o'clock that night, because we had two shows that night. And I was the only way I'm going to get there is if I go Thursday, because I was going to go Friday. I was going to wait until later on, but I couldn't do that. And so I was like, I'm going to be on the plane all day on Thursday. And so I was like, there's no way I could do the show, because whatever time zone we're in, I'm still going to be on the plane. No point. Yeah, so I was like, it's no point in me doing a show. And then I asked Whitney, hey, you still want to do it? You can still do it. She's like, nah, I'm good. I don't know what Whitney had going on, but she was like,
oh,
nah.
Time. Like, basically.
She was like, nah, I'm good. And I was like, y'all can do the show. I told Whitney, Will can do the show if y'all still want to do it. I'm just not going to be on the line. I'm just not going to be on the show that week. And she's like, nah, we good. And I was like, all right, I'll just text Will. And that's how that happened. Listen, you're giving me flashbacks of, you know what, you actually handled it very well, because somebody that's on the show right now, that's the founder of As Told By Her, not Whitney, but the other sister, we had...
You know what, I was going to try to hold my peace. I was, because I knew she was going to do this.
What?
You know what I'm saying? But when EB started to tell his story, I was going to be like, now EB, hold on, because we know Q-Lin is lying.
I couldn't because she's...
Let me speak for like 3 seconds. We're going to get some stuff.
I told you to leave that alone. I told you last week. I told you last show Haley was on. Let it go. But no.
I did. I was speaking from observation of how... I sent you an old shit text, didn't I, E? I sent you an old shit text, didn't I?
She did.
Okay,
she did.
I was just making a point that the old shit text I sent you versus the one I sent to Haley were vastly different. That's all I was saying. It wasn't no problem what I said. That's all I'm saying. And so, E, you missed a whole bunch. You missed Whitney. I mean, Haley's been on multiple times, and the...
Not the one before. The one before show, we did a Valentine's show. I don't know if it's a Valentine's show. I think it was a Valentine's show. She came on, and we had legendary bassist from Kool & the Gang. I interviewed him the beginning of March. And so we the assistant, he had, like, she sent me his, CC'd me all of his interviews for that week. And he had a whole lot of them. And he had an interview before our show, and he had one after our show. And so I was like, okay, cool. And so I told them specifically top of the hour so we could move on with the show. And, but they didn't hit me back, to confirm if he was going to call in at the top of the show or the last hour of the show. And so I'm sitting here waiting the day of, and I had it in my mind. I'm like, I want to text Haley. I don't know if I need to reschedule because I don't know if he's going to be on at the top of the hour or the last of the hour, because the whole time I'm sitting there texting his people trying to see what's going on, because we an hour into the show, whatever. And then, but even before that, it was like a bunch of confusion at the studio I was at. They were doing renovations and they're like putting new alarm systems in and fire alarm systems and shit. And so they got all these damn boxes everywhere of all this equipment that they have to install. And so we had to wait like 10, 15 minutes to even get into the studio. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to be late for the show. And then we had to stop. I'm not driving my car. And so I was like, damn, I need to text Haley before I get to the studio to let her know that we have a guest on, but I don't know if he's going to be on at the top of the hour or the last of the hour. And so I was like, and then they called me, the people at the studio called me while I was at the gas station. And so I was supposed to text Haley then, and then she texted me when we were on our way to the studio, and she's like, hey, am I still on? And I was like, oh, shit, I was supposed to text you when I got to the gas station, but I didn't. But she make it seem like I forgot the whole day that she was supposed to be on. And so she makes this whole dramatic text conversation like, oh, you forgot about me and all this other shit. Like, oh, you forgot about me. I don't want to be on the show. And you forgot about me. You act like you don't know me no more. She gets on the show, and since it rants and raves at me, got all this hostility. We got all the hostility the whole show. And it's just like, every time I say something, I'm like, the count what she says. She's like, what'd you say? Oh, you being smart. She giving me all this attitude the whole show. It was just ridiculous. And she's like, and then when I text her to come on the show the next time, she's like, I can't believe I'm still invited. Like, all this extra. I'm like, why are you like this? That's why I was trying to tell Whitney. And then she just, and not even that, she gets on the show. I told her, I forgot about you like you forget, like you cancel every week. I guess I forgot because you cancel every, like you didn't cancel twice, so I just forgot. And she's like, no, I didn't cancel. Mm. You lying. But guess what happened the other week,
she
E.B.?
My sister. Same person.
Listen, E.B., but guess what I did though, E.B.? She told me I was lying, right, that she didn't miss two shows in a row. And so I was like, if you say it again, I will pull these receipts out on you. I'm going to screenshot this text.
Listen,
and
receipts will change lives.
And then I text, we did this live on air. I was live on air. I was like, say it again, call me a lie one more time, and say I lied about something, and I'm dropping these text receipts. And she's like, oh, okay, we go see. I was like, if I prove it right, you're going to apologize. And she's like, well, we gonna see, whatever, give me all this attitude. And then we come back from break, and then during the break, I screenshotted it right off the bat, boom. Didn't take me long to find. I found both of them, and I screenshotted to Whitney and Haley. And guess what she sent me with, E.B.? She sent me a text.
Saying
screenshot this with a middle finger.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny.
I know from experience, you are never getting an apology ever in life.
That's why I told her to let it go. Just let it go.
Go. Like, if I tell you something, I hold to my guns, okay. I know you're going to hold to yours, but no, I'm going to be like, no, this is what, look, and like you and I pull receipts all the time. If we don't have to talk for a couple weeks or a couple months or a couple years for you to realize, mm-hmm. oh, you was right,
I'm good with it. I'm going to sit back and love it. I'm going to be like, no, but you was wrong. Just admit you was wrong. Once you admit that and you apologize, and most times you don't even have to apologize, because you admitting you were wrong is good enough for me. We can move on. So I feel Q-Lynn, but at the same time,
no,
Q-Lynn.
No, Evie, no. No, you don't feel her because you weren't here, so you don't know.
Correct. Oh, set him straight, hey. Just set him
straight.
Evie, she's up and down your throat right now. That's how she's feeling.
I mean,
it just comes from out of nowhere. The pettiness just comes out of nowhere.
You're
so disrespectful.
She's
so disrespectful with it.
Q-Lynn.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Evie, you're a journalist, so I'm going to just say this one thing, okay? I need you to consider your source. Period. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to drop it.
What?
But consider your
source. Are you kidding me right now?
That's not going to work. I'm not going to do it.
Yo.
What's going on?
Oh, my
gosh.
Hold on. What she's doing right now, Haley, is diminishing the respect I have for these internet streets right now. You need to be so disrespectful right now. Listen.
Period.
Everything I said that I just said is provable. Was our guest late on the show? A legendary guest, might I add? Yes, he was. And to corroborate everything I said, all you gotta do is listen to the show with Mr. Robert Coolbill, and you will see he didn't come on until the last hour of the show. And
I never said you were wrong.
Still,
I just said he should consider the source. That's all I said.
Period.
I ain't never lied about nothing. I've always, like, if I forgot something, I say I forgot. But I didn't forget you. The only thing I forgot was to text you before the show. But how am I supposed to know my guest is coming at the top of the show or the last hour of the show when nobody's communicating? That's what I was waiting on, was email. And they had to email the manager because it's a whole situation. I ain't going to get into all that and give all this business information. But everything I'm saying at this moment is the truth. And my recollect shows, I've said many times on this show, when I call something right, if my recollection is on point, it's on point. And my recollection was that you did miss two shows in a row, that you texted me that you were going to be on for whatever reason you gave me at the time. And I've proven myself and resurrected myself of recollecting correctly. And what did you do? You sent a disrespectful text message to me. And
I know.
Sorry.
Have you been exonerated? Have you been exonerated like Trump, Q-Lynn?
I have been exonerated. I'm just like Jussie Smollett. I've been off on
you might have some problems.
I'm out on a discount. So the prosecutor then dropped charges on me, but I'm still guilty. I got myself off, but I'm still guilty. That's what in Haley's eyes. That's what it is. I got myself off with the truth. But I wasn't lying though. Well, I can't use that because he just straight up lied. But that's not. I guess I can't compare that because he just lied and so he just paid his way out. But yeah, I can't compare that.
Well, we'll see.
Listen. It's already been proven, Will. It's already, the facts already showed. I wouldn't even go. I didn't even put it in Raggedy or Savvy News because, like I said, let the record show that the shows prior to when this was still investigating before he even got indicted with those felony charges, I said I was going to be mutual in it because just off of his reputation, I didn't feel like he did it. I was like, from the hate crime and how serious it was, it sounded like it was too bizarre for it not to be true. But then at the same time, his story, when he told it on that interview with Robin Roberts, didn't make sense to me. And then just how it all played out, it didn't make sense. And so I'm just addressing it, Savvy Updates. I'm not putting it in Raggedy or Savvy News. My whole recollection on it is that from the start, the police were investigating it as a hate crime, but all of the facts were, and all the evidence was leading to him. The two men they apprehended apparently keeps flip-flopping on, they told the police that he paid them for that, and then come to find out it's something else, and then it gets into the grand jury, and then the case is sealed now, so whatever prompted the prosecutor or the state's attorney to what I'm guessing, this, because it didn't make sense to me. It started making sense yesterday as I asked a lawyer that's a friend of mine of, like, what is the extent of a felony charge. And what he told me was, is that if you're charged with a felony, you have to go to prison. If you're charged with, like, if you've been in, you know what I mean, charged with federal crime, then you go to prison. It's no probation, no nothing. And so what they did was, when they dropped the charges, if he was indicted by a grand jury with 14 felony charges.
16.
He was going to prison. If they would have went to court with this, he would have went to prison, period. It wasn't going to be no probation. That's why he dropped the charges. That's why the prosecutor dropped the charges, was because he was going to go to prison. And they said it's a nonviolent crime, and that was his, they the reason why they're saying he's still guilty, and they didn't press charges, because if they would press charges, he's going to prison, because that's a federal crime. That's not a misdemeanor crime. That's a federal crime. And so, that's why I get people want, the friends of Jesse, I get why they want to defend him, but he should be lucky, happy, and feel blessed that.
Say that.
Yeah, because he would have went to prison. Like, this is serious. Like, that, it's he would have went to prison if, because he was indicted. This isn't like, you know, oh, the jury. No, they made up their mind within minutes from whatever evidence they had gathered against Jesse that he was going to prison. And so it was just the lenience to, I guess, how big the case was, to where they felt like it's a nonviolent crime. And so even though he committed a federal crime, they still don't feel like a nonviolent crime is recommended to be in prison. That's all that was. And so at first I didn't believe it. But now I'm 100% sure that he wasn't telling the truth and he was indicted. And the only reason why, that's right. My take on it.
Well, they screwed up. The city screwed up. They botched the case because they tried it and, you know, they tried it in the court of public opinion. And that's where they screwed it all up. That's where they messed it up.
I knew when I heard it, common sense told me something is not right. So, but with all the leaks that happened within Chicago PD and that it kept coming to the media, oh, well, now this is what's going on with Jesse. This is what's going on with Jesse. I was like, yeah, it's not right. It's not adding up. But now you've let it get out so far. You have no choice but to drop the charges now, because now it looks like you're setting him up. Even though in my mind, me, EB, I'm pretty sure that it's Jesse's fault. He made the whole thing up for whatever reason. I don't know. But the fact that the Chicago PD let it get out and they leaked all of this information to the public and it went to the media and Jesse, and keep in mind, you know, he's supposedly the victim of this crime, but he's doing interviews with Robin Roberts.
Right, it's so weird.
That don't make sense. And as a black gay man, I know there are like a lot of people that will be mad that I'm saying this, especially the black gay people. I knew he was lying from the beginning. And their thing is, oh, now you want to trust the police? No, now I'm trusting my common sense. I knew my common sense was right from the get-go. And then there's that whole, oh, you're just mad because Jesse is that. No, he lied. And that's detrimental to society. It's hurtful to the people who have risked their lives and the people who have died, who have been victims of LGBTQ hate crimes. It's like this man deliberately lied about this. But at the same time, Chicago PD has to take the majority of the fault. Like Will said, they tried it in the court of public opinion, and it wasn't supposed to get that far. So like Kulin said, they had to drop the charges because it's like, all right, I'm pretty sure that Jesse negotiated something with them. But
Right.
I kind of wish, this sounds so terrible to say, I kind of wish he had went to jail a little bit.
Mm.
I do.
Interesting.
I do. It's because at this point, I feel like it's too detrimental to the society we live in now with that man in the White House. I'm not going to say his name. Man in the White House.
You're talking about Mushroom Stem. Mushroom stem?
Mushroom stem.
Mushroom
Everything
stem.
Everything that's going on you right now. I feel like for you to, there are too many people going through real situations of either abuse or violence or harassment from that sector of the country, from his supporters, that for you to make something up, it hurts their credibility when something does happen. It hurts my grandmother's credibility when she's going to the grocery store and, you know, somebody with a MAGA hat's in there and, you know, spits on her or says something degrading. It hurts their credibility. And I think I was reading a report earlier today that said that hate crimes since this man has been in office, hate crimes in the places that he campaigned have risen over 200%.
I believe it.
That tells you that he is the problem. So for Jesse to have to feel like this is the lie he had to make up, like, it was kind of like, it was very off-putting to me. Like, really, like, people are really struggling. Like, I can name three or four people who actually have died, who've been killed in hate crimes, or what the police suspect are hate crimes, since last September. But for you to lie about something like this, and you being the big celebrity that you are, it's hurtful to people, man. You can't do that. Like, I don't care what platform you think you have, you can't do that. And I know you're always going to have the supporters that are, who are fans and who are behind you because you're Jesse Smollett. And there are different reasons. They may be behind you because you're black. They may be behind you because you're gay. They may be behind you because they just like your work on Empire or whatever else you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. I'm not a fan. I don't pay attention. This is shade. But you can't do that. You can't put that type of energy out, because when it does happen to someone in the streets of Chicago or Chattanooga or Buffalo or Boston or Los Angeles or Tampa or anywhere USA, when it does happen, when they are attacked by those people in the MAGA hat, it means little to nothing because you lied about it. And you hurt the credibility of those who it has happened to, but those who it will happen to, because clearly that man is still in office and his supporters, they still going hard in the paint. And I don't understand why, but they still going hard in the paint.
Right. So, I got a question for you, EB. Yeah. Whitney and Q-Lan as well, and Hilly. Does he get his job back at Empire?
Well, they
dropped the charges, right? So they dropped the charges, and I understand that there is a little, it's a little sticky because, he paid the $10,000 fine and he had to do community service. So, you know, there's a problem there. But he has not been, found guilty. So does he get his job back?
No, he's not innocent either.
Okay, yep.
Don't pay $2,000 a day. Don't go to community service.
Say it again.
You got 2 days of community service.
Is she outside?
2 days? Yes, I am. It's so much stuff going on. Don't worry about all that. 2 days of community service.
2 days of community service and a fine. Innocent people don't. Victims would not do that. I'm sorry. A victim of a crime would not do that. So I'm with you, Lynn. Will you get your job back? I don't know. I don't watch Empire anymore. And it's not because of this. I stopped watching a long time ago. It ran its course with me. But should you get your job back? My answer is no. Will you? I don't know. Because obviously you are part of what, you know, you're part of the money machine. So you make the money. So have you hurt them enough to where you won't make the money, or will you still make the money? That's on the executives at, I guess, Fox or 21st Century Fox.
Well, Trump wants him, Orange 45 chicken wing mushroom wants him to, pay back, or he wants the FBI and the DOJ to investigate, right?
EB, he calls him mushroom because that's the size of his region. That's why he calls him mushroom
45.
I'm so done. Mushroom. Yeah.
You should have been here the first time we heard it. It was interesting.
Yeah, he definitely threw me off with that when he first said it.
Yes.
I was like, whoa.
Yes.
What are we doing right now?
I'm about to change the name of two of my exes in my phone to Mushroom.
Uh-oh.
Yo, we got to go break room.
Oh, my God.
Hold on one second. Let me pull it up for you. Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Oh, Mushroom. He wants to call an investigation, right? That's the pot calling the pillow black or whatever it is.
Yo, we gotta go break real quick. I know you gonna go in, but we gotta go break. We gotta take a break real quick. Real quick.
All right. Let's get it right now. Coming back, this is the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network, folks. Now, we've got a deep show. Take a few seconds, EBQ Land and Whitney and Healy. The song will be up here in just a second, all right? All right, we'll be right on it.
Well, you over here getting caught up with Mushroom 45.
You know, I thought we were going to do the rage. That's all. Okay, all right.
Yo, we got it. That's all right. We'll be all right. We'll be back.
I'm not sure just what to do.
Stephanie Mills, What You Gonna Do With My Lovin'. Boy, that bass line in that song is tight. Oh my goodness. Welcome back. This is the Soul Savage Show. We got Q Lynn, EB, Whitney, and Healy. And yours truly just hanging in, doing the thing, here on The Buzz. Back to you, Q.
Hey, y'all. Listen, this is, I'm in an awkward situation right now. I gotta leave y'all, cause too much going on. My savvy heathen talk, we played the Grace Jones. We was giving appreciation to women's history, cause we only had time. I was gonna do my savvy shout out. I was gonna say, you know, shout out to the women that got rid of the men that would borrow their car while they at work. I was gonna give those savvy shout outs. EB, Haley doesn't appreciate our savvy shout out segment. Ooh, she's very judgmental when it comes to that, but my savvy heated talk is we're gonna end with Grace Jones sinning, and so I was gonna say to all people that indulge in premarital sex, sin and don't repent. That's what my savvy heated talk is. But I gotta leave y'all. And so, I'm gonna let Whitney and EB close the show because I gotta leave y'all. Uh-huh. I'm sorry with the abruptness, but I got too much going on right now.
Yeah, okay.
I'll talk to y'all later.
She's looking at police lights, y'all. She's looking at police lights, I understand.
No, I'm not. We try to get a rental car fixed for my show tonight.
Uh-huh.
I got a show in
2 hours. No, Q-Lin, we hear the sirens.
I got a show in 2 hours, so I gotta get to them.
We hear the sirens.
We try to get it done.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Man won't wait. I'm listening in still, so don't let me call back in. I'll be back. I gotta go. Look, the tow man is honking at me now. I gotta go.
Uh-huh.
I'll holler at y'all.
Yeah.
Right, bye.
Police sirens. That's what it is, folks. Hey. All right. EB, Whitney, and Healy.
She's still doing it.
Well, singling.
Still doing it. I told her I was going to catch up with her one day.
Slinging? She's still slinging. Is she still slinging?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That is.
Uh-oh. Yep, you're right. We'll catch up with you. Man, oh man, oh man. Oh boy, what a great show, guys. EB, what you got? Whitney, what you got?
Whitney, what do you
got? I just want to say happy, super happy Aries season to all my Aries. Yes. My sister on the line, we coming up on the 14th, so shout out to all Aries everywhere. That's what I got.
Haley, you got a savage in your phone. Even though Q-Lin said you was judgmental.
Well, I'm not, because, you know, she just be off the wall, and I'm like, really? come back to me. I'm not good at this part of the show.
Okay. I don't think I have a savvy heathen talk, but I will say during my time away, I feel what Q-Lin and Will, like what they go through, like getting this show together, editing and doing interviews and cueing songs. It is not easy. And I always thought it was, and I always thought it sounded so easy, but it is not. So I want to give a shout out to everybody who has one of those jobs that people just assume is easy, and it's mm-hmm. not, you know, mm-hmm. like prostitution. They say it's easy. I don't know. I might have to ask.
You know, you know, Evie, Whitney, Healy, it's sort of like that. But you know, I've got a little, I don't know whether it's heathen talk or savage shout or not, but I've got a question for the three of you. What does Robert Kraft, Lee, aka Cindy Yang, and Orange Mushroom have in common?
Oh Lord.
I have no idea.
Drop some knowledge, Will.
Well, you guys already know Robert Kraft, the owner, EB, you guys already know Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, right? Got caught in that, massage parlor down in Florida, right? Well, this girl, Cindy Yang, Lee Yang from China, she used to own those parlors. Well, she was hanging out with Orange Mushroom at the Super Bowl down in Mar-a-Lago. Robert Kraft and Orange Mushroom, they are tight buddies. All right? So you got to look at the connection there. And also, it's alleged that this Yang chick, she was also selling access to the White House. Hey, you got a little money? Hey, you can come and have dinner with the Mushroom King. What? All right? Oh, yeah. selling access.
So he can give you McDonald's?
Oh, yeah.
Or Wendy's.
Yeah, on a silver platter. Oh, you can have it right there. So, man, this thing is interesting. Now, I guys going to drop this a little bit here. Now, Kraft was offered a plea deal. Okay, he turned it down because they was going to let him off, you know, no time and anything like that. But he was going to have to admit that he was guilty. Now, these guys, what makes it even deeper than that, this is a sex trafficking ring that this woman was running. So you got to look out for that. And that's coming up. We'll probably drop a little knowledge on you next week on the, when we do, our 6 minutes of rage. But check it out. 6 minutes of rage. Cindy Yang, Robert Kraft, and Trump. They're all together. Now you guys got to check that out, man. And then
that's what I mean.
Huh?
No, go ahead. No, I was saying that's what I mean about, people with these jobs and you think they're easy. That's how that man got in the White House. He thought it was going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And it has been easy for him because he's not really doing any work.
Of course.
It's up tweeting all the time, which is, I don't understand.
And now he wants to take health care again away, right? He wants to take that away.
Now they're trying to get rid of that again. And what I just find interesting is, especially for him and anybody else, they refuse to call it the Affordable Care Act. They have mm-hmm. to call it Obamacare.
Yes.
And yep. I think that's probably one of the greatest things Obama has done, and the worst is having that associated with his name, because it's great because you're like, oh, like somebody like me, Obamacare is great because there are people who would have been left out in the cold, people with pre-existing conditions or whatever, they're now able to get health care. But then there are also those people who, and excuse my language, Obama, that nigger, Obama, Obamacare. That, and that's, when they say it, and they say it like that, I'm like, yeah. Oh, you just hate that he was the black man in office. No matter how good he was, no matter that his approval rating
right.
has been better than any president in recent years.
Right.
But he was the black man, and you're associating this Obamacare.
And he was the only one that able to get a health care bill passed. And see, now I'm going to tell you something.
Yep.
Those same yahoos back there in West Virginia, wherever they are, they like ACA, but they don't like Obamacare. Look, you dummies, it's the same damn thing.
Right, they use it, they love it. They use it and they love it.
That's right.
But if you say Obamacare, they hate it. They don't even know that what they have is that. They don't know.
They don't know. Hey, folks, we're out of time. We'll be back next week. This is the Soul Savage Show. Our guest, Q Lynn, she'll be back off her hustle by next week. Singing and swinging. Whitney Healy, EB. Hey, glad to have you back, my brother. Hey, this is Grace Jones. This has been the Soul Savage Show on Studio W The Buzz. Mm-hmm.